पर्वत कुमार और सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड है. ऑल्सो ग्रेट वैष्णव आचार्य लाइक श्रीमद् गोस्वामी एस्टैब्लिश्ड द सुप्रीम पोजिशन ऑफ कृष्णा एंड द ओरिजिन ऑफ सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड है थ्रू डिफरेंट philosophical conclusion, and this Krishna appears on this planet in order to re-establish dharma or religious principle. Abhutthana madharmasya tadatmanam srijama jada jada hi dharmasya Gyanir Bhavati Bharata. Whenever and wherever there is a decline of religiosity, dharmasya glani glani. Abhutthana madharmasya. And in order to subdue, whenever there is a decline of religious principles and there is an increase of irreligious principles, in order to re-establish dharma, in order to re-establish religious principles, Krishna comes from time to time. And then he says, Paritranaya sadhanam vinashaya purushinam dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavabhuye. Paritranaya sadhanam, in order to protect the saintly people, and in order to annihilate the demons, and thus to re-establish religious principles, I come. I manifest myself from time to time. Paritrara sadhuna is an important consideration. Krishna comes to protect the sadhu, the saintly person. Now who is the saint? A saint is a person who is surrendered to Krishna. Mahatmanas tu maam partha daivin prakriti maashrita. Mahatma or a saint is a person who is completely surrendered unto me. One who has taken shelter of me, Krishna is telling in Bhagavad Gita. A person who has taken shelter of Krishna's divine energy, daivin prakriti maashrita, he is a mahatma. And this mahatma or saintly personality are very dear to Krishna. Those who are devoted to Krishna, they are very dear to him. Krishna says, Bhakta maam abhijanati javan jashchashri tattvata. This devotee know me as I am. So through devotion one gets to know Krishna. Through devotion or through this love for the Lord, one comes close to him. And when one develops his loving relationship with God, Then God reciprocates, Krishna reciprocates his love. Je yatha maam prapadante tant tathaiva bhajam. Krishna giving the assurance that as one loves me, accordingly I reciprocate. He is very generous, and especially he is hankering for love of his devotee. God doesn't need anything, he has everything. But he still craves for the love of his devotee. Because he is eager to have that loving reciprocation with the living entity. So when one develops this loving relationship, for the loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He reciprocates. And Krishna gives the assurance that when one develops his love for me, when one becomes a devotee of mine, then I will give him all protection. I will take care of him all this way. Anantas chintayam to maam je jana parimashate tesha liktabhivitana yogakshema. What a wonderful assurance. Krishna is telling that those who have become connected to me with unalloyed devotion and love for me, constantly they are connected to me, constantly they are in loving relationship with me. Tesham nittabhi yuktana yogakshema vaham. I carry their yogakshema. Yogakshema, the word yogakshema means I provide for them whatever they lack and I protect whatever they have. Krishna gives all protection to his devotees. Krishna said, Krishna told Arjuna to announce Konteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pradarshan. Arjuna boldly declared that my devotee will never vanquish. And it is not a vain assurance. Time and time again Krishna has proven that. Gandhar was a little child, 5-year-old child, but a great devotee of Krishna. But his father, the king of the demons, Hiranyakashipu, could not tolerate that his son has become a devotee of Hari. So he wanted to kill him. And although Hiranyakashipu was so powerful that he conquered the three planetary, the upper, lower and middle planetary systems of the world, of the universe, that means he actually conquered the entire universe, but still he could not kill his own son. All his endeavor to kill his son was frustrated. Why? Because Krishna was giving him protection. The fire couldn't burn him. The venomous bites of snakes could not kill him. The weapons could not kill him. So he was completely invincible because Krishna was protecting him. And then finally when Hiranyakashipu asked him, where did you get this strength from? That I can't do anything to you. Although I am the most powerful person in this universe. And Prahlad's reply was that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is protecting me. All these traits are not actually mine. They're his traits. It is he who is actually giving you all this protection. And you also have become powerful with his traits. Because without his sanction, even a blade of grass doesn't move. Then Hiranyakashipu asked, where is that Krishna? Where is that Hari? And Prahlad said, he's everywhere. Then Hiranyakashipu asked, is he in the pillar? Then Prahlad said, yes, he is in the pillar also. So then Hiranyakashipu charged towards the pillar, and just with fist, he broke the pillar. And then from that pillar came out that wonderful form of the Lord, Nishindradev. The form that was half lion and half man. Tavo varo kamalo vare lakham adbhuta singhan dalita hiranyaka sipu tadubhenga keshava drita Nara Hari Rupa Jaya Jagadisha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead took up a very wonderful form, the form of half lion and half man, And in that form, with his nail, he tore open the inside of Hiranyakashipu. And he killed him, killed the greatest of all demons. So in this way the Lord gives protection to his devotees. In the battle of Kurukshetra also, we have seen how Arjuna and the Pandavas were always protected by Krishna. Actually, the battle of Kurukshetra was fought between the Pandavas and Kauravas. The Kauravas, the Duryodhana and his side, were extremely powerful. They were actually the government. And not only the government of one state or one country, they were actually ruling over the entire earth planet. And the Pandavas, for 12 years, they were roaming around in the forest. And then for 1 year, they had to stay incognito, so that no one could recognize them. And then after this 13 years of exile, they came back and claimed their rightful kingdom. But Duryodhana refused to give them their kingdom back. The Pandavas asked him, please, give us just 5 villages and we'll be satisfied. Since we are Kshatriyas, we should actually rule over some patch of land, because that is our occupational duty as a ruling class. So give us 5 villages, we don't want all this kingdom, just give us 5 villages and you keep us, you keep the rest. But Duryodhana's reply was that without a war, I'm not going to give you a piece of land that holds on the tip of a needle. The land measuring the tip of the needle, I'll give you even that much land without the war. Dinajithya nahi devo shuchya brahmeri. Why did he speak like that? Because he thought that very easily he will be able to defeat the Pandavas. Because the Pandavas don't have any. The entire army is with them, all the other kings are with them, and what do the Pandavas have? Excepting a few relatives closely connected to them who are siding with them. And then also, the Pandavas, when Duryodhana went to Krishna, they wanted to get Krishna. Krishna also was a king in Dwarka. So Duryodhana went there first to Krishna in the morning. Krishna was still in bed. And Duryodhana sat on a chair near Krishna's head. And then Arjuna came also to appeal to Krishna to side with him. And Arjuna sat towards Krishna's feet. And when Krishna woke up and opened his eyes, he first saw Arjuna and said, "Hey Arjuna, how are you doing? When did you come?" Then Duryodhana immediately jumped up. He said, "Hey Krishna, I came first. So you must address to me first and find out why I came." So Krishna said, "Well, you see, as soon as I opened my eyes, I saw Arjuna. So naturally I addressed you, but you are sitting behind me, so I can see you. So anyway, why both of you came?" Then Duryodhana said, "I came to ask you to side with me. And since I came first, you must side with me." And Arjuna also said, "Krishna, I also came with the same request. The battle is going to take place. Now, will you side with us?" Then Krishna said, well, the condition actually is that in this war, Arjuna will fight. I will fight because it's not a very pleasant kind of a fight. You know, both of you are my relatives and I can't really, I rather stay neutral and I won't fight for either of you. And so now the choice is yours. If you want me, you can have me, but I won't fight, I won't take up any weapon. But on the other side, you have my entire army. So you can decide who you want. You want my army or you want me? Then Arjuna said, Krishna, I just want you. I don't care for the army. I don't care for anything. All I want is you. And Duryodhana thought, that's not a bad deal. After all, Krishna is not going to fight with any weapon. So what's the point in having Krishna in our side? Better to take his army. So both the parties become satisfied. Duryodhana become satisfied with Krishna's army, Narayani Senas, and Arjuna was satisfied with just getting Krishna. Now this is the mood of a devotee. A devotee knows that Krishna is the Supreme Person and Krishna is all powerful. So whether Krishna touches any weapon or not, Krishna is the Supreme Almighty Personality of Godhead at all times. And on top of that, a devotee doesn't actually care about whether God is going to fight for him or not, whether God is going to give him protection or not. Simply out of his love for him, he wants him to be with him. And here is the difference between a non-devotee and a devotee. A devotee is in love with God, whereas a non-devotee is in love with himself. He simply wants everything for himself. And he makes arrangements to protect himself, to secure himself, and to enrich himself. Whereas a devotee, all he cares, he doesn't care for himself at all. All he cares for is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his pleasure. But as a result of that, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives him all protection. And that is the advantage of being a devotee. A devotee is always protected by the Supreme Lord. And that Supreme Personality of Godhead is the all-powerful. And he is the supreme controller and he is the supreme enjoyer. So by being connected to God, we don't lose anything. By developing our love for him, we don't lose anything. And by offering ourselves to him, we don't lose anything. On the other hand, we gain everything. So Krishna comes to remind us about himself and the advantage of becoming connected to him. He takes his birth as an ordinary child, just to allow us to come close to him. And he plays his wonderful pastime. And through this pastime, he actually shows that although he appears to be ordinary, but he is extraordinary. He says himself in Bhagavad Gita, Abhijanam ti maam mudha. Manushim tanum ashriyam, param bhava majananto, mamu bhuta maheshwaram. Avajananti maam mudha. Those who are extremely stupid, they think that I am an ordinary person. And they deride me, thinking me to be an ordinary person. Because they do not understand my param bhava. Param bhavam ajananto, my divine nature is unknown to them. Although they have seen, although they have heard, my in conceivable activities, extraordinary activities, still they do not recognize my divine nature. When you become exposed to Krishna's activities, then you can see that how wonderful He is. Never ever anyone has been able to perform such wonderful activities as Krishna did. But avajanati mamudha, those who are stupid, mudha means extremely foolish, only they cannot understand me. Why? Because mayaya yapavita jnana, because their knowledge has been stolen away by the illusory energy of mind. So it's actually very unfortunate not to be able to recognize Krishna. But when we do recognize Krishna, then all auspiciousness comes to us and our life becomes filled with happiness, prosperity and joy. Jatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Jatra Partha Dhanurdhara. Wherever there is Krishna and wherever his devotee, Arjuna, wherever there is the Lord and his devotee, their wealth, intelligence, success and victory abound to be there. Wherever the Lord is present and his devotees are present, these four things are bound to be present there. All opulence will be there, Shri, all intelligence will be there, or wisdom will be there, all success will be there, and all victory will be there. A Lord's devotee will never be defeated. A Lord is never defeated. Therefore, his devotee who sides with him all the time will never be defeated. Madhavta na pravashyati, my devotee will never be vanquished. So why shouldn't we become surrendered to that most wonderful Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna? So in a few days' time, on the 21st, is Krishna's appearance day, Janmashtami. This day is very auspicious and very special day for his devotees who celebrate this occasion, remembering him, glorifying him, and at night, at 12 o'clock, when the Lord appeared, at midnight, they bathe him and celebrate his appearance in the most gorgeous way. So in our temple in Chatsworth, we are going to have a 3-day-long festival to mark Krishna's birthday or appearance day, Janmashtami, 21st, 22nd and 23rd. For these 3 days, we are going to have a very grand celebration, and we invite you all to come to our temple, and we humbly request you to become more and more absorbed in thinking about Krishna, understanding Him and glorifying Him. Hare Krishna, thank you all very much. Jai Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki, Jai Shri Krishna Janmashtami ki, Jai Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki, Gaur Premanande. If anyone has any questions,
for a really enlightening and a really challenging reform. Thank you very much. What is the difference between Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and Gayatri Mantra? Om Hu Hula. Yeah. So, Gayatri Mantra is Gana Trayate Iti Gayatri. The mantra that is chanted, and by chanting, by singing that mantra, one becomes delivered. That is Gayatri. Now, Gayatri mantra has three aspects. The first aspect is bija, or the seed. The second aspect is the naam, or the name of mantra devata. And the third aspect is the elaboration of the mantra. Now, Gayatri is chanted to invoke the mercy of the personality who is the mantra devata. And for that, the first is the bija or the seed, the knowledge, just as in the seed, the entire tree is there, and under proper conditions, from the seed, the tree comes out. Similarly, from bija, the transcendental reality becomes exposed or revealed. And then it is directed to the mantra devata. Like there are various types of Gayatri. That bhur bhuva, etc., is actually Brahma Gayatri. Like here, we can see om bhur bhuva. Om here is the bija. And bhur bhuva swa, generally the Gayatris are not chanted loudly. It is a secret mantra which is whispered in the ear, and then comes the elaboration of the mantra, where the mantra is explained what is the purpose of the mantra and what is the goal of the mantra. Now, as I was saying, like Gayatri mantra is a secret mantra which reveals the Vedic knowledge or spiritual knowledge. Therefore, Gayatri, another name of Gayatri is Veda Mata, the mother of the Vedas. So in the beginning, this Gayatri mantra was given to Brahma by Krishna, by playing his flute. And by chanting this Gayatri, the Vedas became revealed in the heart of Brahma. And then, this knowledge was passed down in a chain of disciplic succession. And the origin of the knowledge was planted in the heart of the disciples in the form of Gayatri Mantra. Whereas Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the Maha Mantra which is the direct address of the Supreme Personality of God. Like in Gayatri, the naam of the mantra devata, the name is there in the middle as a secret. Whereas in Hare Krishna Mahamantra there is no secret. It's all name. The 16 words of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra all are actually indicating the names of the Supreme Personality of God directly. That's why it is called Mahamantra. And this mantra can be chanted silently, in a meditative way, at the same time loudly, in order to directly glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it can be chanted also congregationally, collectively, to not only to elevate the chanter, but to elevate the entire atmosphere and those who are around listening to this mantra. So there are many mantras in the Vedas, but there is only one Mahamantra, the great mantra, and that is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Rama. So there is no difference actually between Gayatri and Hare Krishna, indicative of the Supreme Personality of God. And Hare Krishna Mahamantra also is indicative of the Supreme Personality of God. So there is no difference, but there is certain differences in practical application. Like Gayatri must be chanted as a secret mantra. Gayatri is chanted without making any sound inwardly, whereas Hare Krishna Mahamantra can be chanted by any. Another thing is the Gayatri cannot be chanted unless and until one is a duly initiated Brahmana. But Hare Krishna Mahamantra by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can be chanted by anyone at any place under any circumstance. Does a person have to give up everything to join the Hare Krishna movement? How can a businessman or professional attain the love of God? Does a person have to give up everything to join the Hare Krishna movement? Not necessarily. We ask them to give up only four things: meat eating, intoxication, gambling, and illicit sex. These are the only things that one has to give up. Otherwise, you can keep your money, you can keep your house, you can keep your business. And as and when you want to give it to Krishna, you can give it to him. But to join the movement, you don't have to give it up. You just give up these four sinful activities: meat eating, intoxication, gambling, and illicit sex. And you can join the Hare Krishna movement. And how can a businessman or professional attain the love of God? You see, love of God is not dependent upon the external condition. Love is an internal factor. You see, you are speaking about a businessman or a professional. Now can you imagine Arjun? He was a warrior. He was a prince. If you have some headache as a businessman, I can tell you Arjun has 100 times more headache than you have. But still he was a devotee of Krishna. Not only a devotee, he was one of the greatest devotees of Krishna. So that is actually a proof. In order to be a devotee of Krishna, you don't have to change your external condition. Sthane sthitva shruti gatam tanuvam manodhi. Wherever you are, being situated there, with your body, mind and world, if you serve Krishna, then Krishna, who is ajita, who is inconquerable, can be conquered. There's only way to conquer Krishna. Although he is inconquerable, but he can be conquered by the love of his devotee. And you can love Krishna, it doesn't matter wherever you are or in whatever condition you may be in.
There are so many versions of scriptures, including Bhagavad Gita, Bible, Ramayana, etc. Dear Swami, so please explain why we should listen to you or any Swami for that matter. How can we, the ignorant masses, feel or who is a real teacher, exponent of the Vedic scriptures? Yeah. First of all, your point is that there are many versions of scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, Bible, Ramayana, etc. So, then you are saying, so please explain why we should listen to you. Well, you don't really have to listen to me. But you listen to somebody who knows. And you find out for yourself, using your intelligence, who is the person who knows. But some, you have to listen to somebody who knows, because you do not have the knowledge yourself. So you have to receive the knowledge from some source. And how do you recognize who knows? Well, here you have to use your intelligence. Like for example, when you go to buy something, then you go and look around and you see where you are getting the genuine thing at a good price. So buy it from there. But if you are a fool, then you will buy a bad thing with a good price. And it will be a big loss for you. Another thing is that when it comes to recognizing a sadhu, you have to see him not with your eyes, but you have to see him with your ears. Listen to what he says. A sadhu cannot be recognized by the appearance, but you have to see him from his speeches, the way he teaches. So this is how one recognizes a sadhu. Or now, as you are saying, like the ignorant master, who is a real teacher, exponent of the Vedic scriptures. Anyway, I then does the birth of Devaki's 8 children have any connection with our planetary system? No. I hope I understood your question right. Like, does the birth of Devaki's 8 children have any connection with our planetary system? No. Actually, the understanding is that the first 6 sons of Devaki are actually symbolic to the 6 branches of the Vedic philosophy. Now, we have to get rid of those 6 branches of Vedic philosophy. Then Balaram appears. Who is the spiritual master? So giving up the philosophical speculation based on the Vedas, when one ultimately surrenders unto the spiritual master, then only Krishna appears in his heart. If there is a link, and Devaki allowed her first son to be born to this world, would we have a different planetary system? I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying. If there is a link, and Devaki allowed her first son to be born to this world, would we have a different planetary system? Anyway, so Devaki's son, you know what happened, and the planetary system is as it is, the way it is. So what's the use of speculating? An individual starts his life religiously But as he progresses, nature takes him away from spiritualism to materialism, which leads to misery and unhappiness. Should he still try to go back to his religious behavior and a tussle goes on, at the end, the individual gets tired fighting, but in his miserable state, he finds Krishna or God protecting him. Question, is this his past, present karma that could be in his fate, or what is the floor? Okay, I'll try to answer from whatever I understood. You see, when one surrenders unto Krishna, then Krishna actually gives him all protection. Krishna doesn't want him to go away. When someone goes back to the Supreme Father, Krishna never lets his son go away. He doesn't want to let his son go away after he comes back. So, that concept that individual starts his religious life, but as he progresses, nature takes him away from spiritualism to materialism. That's not the case always, you know, like in some unfortunate cases it may have happened. But when one takes to spiritual life, he should naturally progress towards his spiritual life. Why should he deviate from his spiritual life? And as far as the fate is concerned, you see the karmic reaction or the action-reaction principle becomes null and void when one surrenders to Krishna. Krishna says, sarva dharman paritajya mam ekam saranam braja aham tvam sarva papibho mokshayishyami mam. If you surrender unto me, then I will deliver you from all your sinful reactions. You don't worry about that. So, when one surrenders unto Krishna, then all his sinful reactions are wiped out. And he becomes situated on a completely blissful and perfect situation. I see Krishna everywhere, but I do not see Rama everywhere. Well, there is no difference between Rama and Krishna. So if you are seeing Krishna, then, and if you look a little carefully, then you will also see Rama there. Do you think that Christ and Muhammad were incarnation of Krishna? Well, Christ, if we consider that Christ is the Son of God, then Christ is Krishna's Son. Krishna is God. And if Christ is the Son of God, then he is his Son. And Muhammad never said that he is an incarnation, but Muhammad said he is a preacher. He is a Messiah. He is a messenger of Lord's message. So if that is the case, then he is the messenger of Krishna's message. But unfortunately, these two personalities had to preach in a very unfortunate situation, in a desert, to the people, those who are completely barbaric. And it's very difficult to preach to them, so, you know, they had to give them a very basic understanding of God. And they tried to uplift them onto a barbaric from a barbaric platform to a civilized platform. So, it's like, you know, having a very vague, basic understanding of God and having a complete understanding of God. There is a vast difference. Now the Vedas are actually giving a complete understanding of God. Whereas there, say for example, in Islamism, the instruction is that don't try to imagine Him. Don't try to think of Him. He doesn't have it. Don't imagine His form, or don't think about His form, don't think of His qualities. Like, I mean, if we are approaching God, but if we can't think about Him, then what's the point in approaching? How can one possibly approach Him if there are so much restrictions about even thinking about Him? On the other hand, we see, when Prabhupada was preaching, he would say, if you want to know about God, you come to me. And I'll give you all informations about God. I can tell you how He looks like, I can tell you what His name is, I can tell you what He does, where He lives, I can even give you His telephone number. And that is the difference between Vedas and these religions. And Jesus also Himself said that I have much more to say, but you all are not ready to receive that. So that is the unfortunate aspect, like, they could not give the real knowledge as they could have to a learned audience. Because they were, just like you may be a PhD, but you are dealing with a bunch of kindergarten kids. What are you going to do? I mean, how can you display your wisdom to them? To the kids, you have to just play a little bit and make them happy and then go away. It was really very interesting to hear you speak of Krishna with such devotion. It has inspired me. Thank you. Thank you very much. Please explain why you chant mantras and which mantras do you chant? Yes, we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And many other mantras. Mantra, the word mantra means the sound vibration that delivers the mind. Manam Trayate iti mantra. Whatever delivers our mind, that is mantra. And it's not just some haphazard sound, but they're very scientific, spiritual sound. The sounds that came from another, the spiritual reality. And this sound vibration has the ability to uplift us onto that reality. That is the reason why we want to chant the mantra. Some more questions. Okay, let me see. I'll try to quickly answer the questions, it's getting late. Please write down questions when you're not here. Why creation? What purpose is served by creating the universe? Yeah. This material nature has been created to rectify the perverted soul. Like the criminals are rectified in a prison house. In the prison, the criminals are punished, and through the punishment, the criminal mentality is reformed. Similarly, those who have committed some crime in God's world, in the spiritual world, by disregarding the laws of the Supreme Law, they are put into this material nature. Please don't mind, but the bare fact is that we all are a bunch of criminals. And in this prison house of this material nature, we are undergoing various kinds of punishment to rectify our perverted mentality. And the ultimate rectification is to surrender unto God. Our crime is that we did not want to accept the authority of God. And as soon as we surrender ourselves to Him and accept His authority, we become free from the bondage of this material. So the purpose of the universe is somewhat like building a prison house. The king builds a prison, not because he wants that some people should suffer there, but those who need to go through this reformatory process, they are actually put in there. Which avatar appeared on earth first, Lord Ram or Lord Krishna? Ramchandra appeared in Treta Yuga, and Krishna appeared in Dwapara Yuga. So Ramchandra appeared on this before Krishna on this earth. How many avatars Amsa
were there of Krishna? Which were they? As I said, like there are innumerable incarnations or avatars of Krishna, just as there are innumerable waves in an ocean. But generally they are categorized in six categories, known as Purushavatar, Leelavatar, Gunavatar, Yugavatar, Manvantaravatar, and Shaktaveshavatar. Now, what is the significance of the beads worn around the devotee's neck? These beads are actually made of Tulasi, and Tulasi is a devotee of Krishna. And by wearing this Tulasi, one actually gets devotion to Krishna by receiving the mercy of Tulasi Devi and some basic material benefits also is that when one wears Tulasi bead, the Jamadutas cannot come to him. Just by having Tulasi bead wrapped around our neck, we actually become free from the jurisdiction of Jamaraj, the Lord of Death. So if you want to secure yourself nicely, just wear a Tulasi bead. But when you wear Tulasi bead, you can't eat meat. And you can't tell lies. What is the significance of Ekadasi? Ekadasi is the 11th day of the lunar calculation. And this Ekadasi is a personality was created by Krishna to deliver living entities of their sinful reaction. So, and this Ekadasi is actually the mother of devotion. So one who observes Ekadasi by fasting and remembering Krishna the whole day and preferably staying up the whole night singing the glory of Krishna, he receives devotion. And one should not eat grains on Ekadasi, because on this day, on the day of Ekadasi, all the sins take shelter in grain. So if one eats grain, then although he may not have committed those sins, but just by eating grain, he will incur those sins. So don't eat grain on Ekadasi, that is. Why do male devotees or Hare Krishna shave their hair? Yeah, there are various reasons for shaving our hair. One is to keep ourselves clean. You see, hair is subtle dirt or subtle waste product of the body. The gross waste is stool and urine and sweat, and subtle waste products are nails, hair, etc. So it's actually the subtle stool. So, it's to keep oneself clean, one usually shaves his hair. Now the other consideration is that when one pursues spiritual life, he wants to dedicate all his life, all his time to serving the Lord. And he doesn't have any time to take care of himself. Now to have long hair, so much time is wasted to keep it kept. And another thing is, that when you have long hair, hair actually plays a very important part to your physical appearance. Like when you have long hair, you feel that, oh, I'm so beautiful. But when you shave your head off, then you don't care whether you're beautiful or not. You don't care how you look like. Now why only the male devotees shave their head? That's the question. Well, the male devotees can afford to look unattractive. But the females, by nature, they are attached to their bodies. And they have been allowed to think that they are beautiful. Okay, Hare Krishna. Thank you all very much. So, we'll have a small bhajan, and then we'll have a drama. Our devotees will stay the drama here. I hope you all are not getting late, yes? Or are you getting late? Sure? Who is not getting late? So if I sing a Hindi bhajan, will you all be able to sing with us? Huh? So it's a very simple bhajan about Krishna. It says, Krishna jinka naam hai, Gokul jinka dham hai, aise Shri Bhagavan ko mere barambar pranam hai. Is it difficult to sing? Sure. Okay. I'll sing. And if you don't sing, then I'll get on your case.